Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And that's page 807 in your pew Bible. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick up there in just a moment. It is great to see each of you this morning. I'll reiterate a couple things that Tom already said earlier about the fact that we have a lot of our people who are obviously gone this time of year, but we're blessed that a number of you are able to be with us and be with your family during this holiday season, and we hope that you have safe travels and have a great time with whomever and wherever you are spending the next week or two. But we're blessed to be together today. And at this time of year, you know, you look around, you can't help but see nativity scenes all around. And if you pay much attention to them, you see all the usual characters, all the main players of the story surrounding the birth of Jesus. Of course, you see Mary. And you see Joseph, and you will see in some form or fashion the baby Jesus probably laying in a manger with swaddling clothes. You'll probably see some sort of barn scene, and depending on how creative you want to get with that, you'll see a variety of animals in that scene as well. And then many times on two sides, you will have the shepherds, the angels who accompanied them or at least informed them of what was taking place in Bethlehem, are usually represented in some form or fashion. And even though the wise men didn't come really until probably a couple years later, the wise men are usually represented in those nativity scenes as well. And then, of course, you have a star. If you look closely, an artist or a sculptor or whoever's putting this together in some way will represent the star. And you can probably think of maybe one or two other examples of things you usually see depicted in these scenes. But you know, the more I've thought about these nativity scenes, whether it's a picture, a work of an artist, sometimes a toy of a child's, one thing that I have an appreciation for, especially this year among our congregation, with our theme being what it is this year, the most, maybe the, if you want to say somebody's the most significant player in this account, he's at least right there beside Jesus. You never see him depicted, and that's the Holy Spirit. And here, the part of the Godhead who really made all this possible, the passage that Jeff just read for us in Matthew chapter 1, both Joseph and Mary are told what is about to take place. It is taking place because of the Holy Spirit. That's who I want us to focus on, especially today in his relationship with the coming of Christ into the world and all that took place really in Jesus' life. Because if you read throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can't help but appreciate that some of the most significant moments in Jesus' life, right there beside him, is what we sometimes call the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit himself. For those of you who are visiting with us today, our theme for 2018 has been the Spirit gives life. That phrase itself is especially found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The context there doesn't have to do with Jesus coming into the world. It has to do with us living in such a way that we find life through the Spirit himself. The Spirit that comes to us when we put on Christ. But as you really explore the fullness of Scripture and as you look just at Jesus' life himself, one thing that I've grown to appreciate more and more over this past year as we've studied and hopefully gained so much in our understanding about the Holy Spirit is one of his primary works over and over and over again, one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit is to give life. And if all you ever knew in the Bible was Jesus himself and his life, what would you see about the Holy Spirit is the fact that he gives life. He is a life giver, a life bringer, and we'll also see he's a life sustainer as well. And so I want to look at Luke's account, Luke chapter 1, and see how the Spirit gives life at Jesus' birth, and how, next screen please, Josh. The Spirit gives life at Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 1, and consider this brief conversation that takes place between Mary. I'll be in Luke chapter 1, starting verse 34. If you have one of the Pew Bibles, it's page 855. And here, Mary has been informed that you are going to bear this child. Verse 32, she's told, he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. Mary asks a question in verse 34 that any of us, if we were in her situation, in her shoes, we would have asked the exact same thing. She says to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? How's this going to happen? She knows the way life works. How are you going to bring life from a situation in which no life should exist in the first place? Now, when we ask questions like that, how's this going to be? You know, sometimes we want pretty technical answers. We want to know the specifics and the details about how this thing is going to be fulfilled. And for Mary, I don't know exactly what she meant as far as what kind of answer she was looking for and how's this going to be, but here's the answer she gets in verse 35. The angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The angel continues by talking some about Elizabeth and about the fact that she's going to have John the Baptist. You keep reading Luke chapter 1. Maybe Mary was satisfied with that answer. I can tell you in my curiosity, I probably would have said, well, that's a great answer. The Holy Spirit's going to do this. But I still want to, how is this going to happen? Well, we aren't given any other details. Evidently, she probably wasn't either. But what do we find in what follows in Luke chapter 1? She rejoices. She recognizes that what the angel declares to her is going to be something special, something even beyond special. It's miraculous. But it's going to come about because of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, what does he do? He gives life. And he gives life consistently. And the most consequential life that ever entered the world, how did it enter the world? Because of the Holy Spirit. Mary seemed to be satisfied with that answer. I want you to hold on to, as we go throughout a couple of other events in Jesus' life this morning, hold on to that conversation. How is this going to happen? It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. The next birth, if you will, in Jesus' life is going to take place in Luke chapter 3. We see there that the Spirit gives life at Jesus' baptism. Turn over in your Bibles, just maybe a page or two, Luke chapter 3. I'm just going to read verses 21 and 22. John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan. This is the occasion where Jesus comes to John the Baptist and says, I need to be baptized by you. John the Baptist is like, no, you've got that backwards. But Jesus insists. And here's what follows in John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now, we recognize that Jesus did not need to be baptized because he had sins that needed to be forgiven. Jesus specifically will say that he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. That takes on a whole lot of possibilities as to what he's saying and including there. But it seems on this occasion that there is going to be something special. And that's why I say that the Spirit is giving life. No, Jesus is not a different Jesus than the one who was born to Mary. He's still the same man in the flesh. But in many senses and regards, you can say that this is a rebirth for Jesus' life, because it's at this moment, it seems to be at this moment where God will declare, "This is my son." Now, as we read the Gospels, before this, we're told in various accounts that yes, and Mary and Joseph, they're told that, yeah, you're going to give birth to the Son of the Most High God. But this is where God declares it in a very public and formal fashion. Now, how many people understood and comprehended that in the moment? I don't know. John the Baptist knew something special was taking place. But this is where God says, "This is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with him." And this seems to be the moment that kicks off Jesus' ministry. This is where Jesus goes from being the boy or the young man from Nazareth, and now he is so much more. Because especially as you read in Luke's account, this occasion of the Holy Spirit coming upon him in bodily form, that's not just some trivial detail that Luke includes in Luke chapter 3. When you get to chapter 4, we see the implications of that. Pick up with Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit," you don't see that phrase prior to this, "full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." And this is where he's going to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. After that occasion, skip down to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says there, and by the way, if you use one of the Pew Bibles or the ESV like I use, one of the subtitles there says, "Jesus begins his ministry." There's something special that's taking place during this period of time. Verse 14 of chapter 4, "And Jesus returned," listen to this phrase, "in the power of the Spirit to Galilee." Jesus goes back to Galilee, and now he is equipped in the power of the Spirit. And then one more time, go next page if you're using the Pew Bible, verse 18, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is where Jesus is in synagogue on the Sabbath. It's time for Scripture to be read. He unrolls the scroll of Isaiah. And in verse 18, this is what he reads. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." As you keep reading, you realize Jesus is not just reading Scripture on that occasion in synagogue on Sabbath. Jesus is literally saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's saying, today, this Scripture has been fulfilled because the Holy Spirit, he is now upon me. And so it seems that that occasion in Luke chapter 3 when Jesus is baptized, yes, his baptism was different in nature and for a different reason in some ways than ours, but this seems to be a birth for his life and his ministry. And in Luke chapter 4, he's not afraid to say it. He's not even afraid to say it in public fashion among people that he worshiped with on a regular basis. And from this moment on, we see Jesus equipped fully with the power of the Holy Spirit, performing miracles, taking on everything that Satan and the world could throw at him. And time after time, Jesus, with the full power of the Spirit, he's victorious. He gives life. The Spirit gives life. And again, going back to those words that he read in synagogue, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. What's Jesus saying? With the Holy Spirit being upon me, I am now giving life in a new way, in a new sense. to those that I touch. And we, when we come to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, we are born again. Scripture tells us that. And Jesus himself, when he talks to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says, unless one is born again, unless one is born what? Of the water and of the Spirit. He can't see the kingdom. You see, this kind of birth, which in many ways is represented in this new beginning in Jesus' life, these are the kinds of new beginnings that are offered to us when we come to Christ. That we have a new life, that we have a new hope, we have new possibilities, not because of us or anything that we have done, but because of Christ. What's been accomplished by him and through him, along with the Spirit. But this isn't the final place that we see the Spirit giving life to Jesus. Because it's at his resurrection that the Spirit will also give life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and there the Apostle Paul, in writing about the Holy Spirit, will at least give us some clues and maybe help our curiosity when we wonder, how did this dead body that had been in a tomb for 3 days, how did it come back to life? Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's an amazing verse when you consider the full grasp and content of everything that Paul's saying here. First, he tells us how it was that that lifeless body of Jesus was resurrected. But in some ways, he doesn't tell us everything we want to know, does he? It reminds me of that conversation between Mary and the angel in Luke chapter 1. Sometimes we might consider the resurrection of Jesus and say, well, how did that ever happen? Well, Paul answers in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the same way that the angel answers Mary. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave life back to that dead body. Now, Paul will go on in that verse and say, and that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will do the same thing for each and every one of us who have followed in the steps of the risen Savior when he returns. You know, I want to put especially these two bookend events in Jesus' life, his birth and his death and resurrection. With respect to the Holy Spirit, I want to bring those together for a moment. I can't imagine being in Mary's shoes. We know that Mary was at the foot of the cross on that Passover Friday, watching her son being tortured and crucified. And she probably knew things that maybe nobody else on earth really knew. She had been told things. That angel had given her the privilege of information because of her position to see some of the things that were to come for her son. And yet here she is at the foot of the cross. And you can't help but imagine her wondering, how's God going to work this out? How is this perfect son of mine, who hasn't done anything to deserve this, who is the son of the Most High God, if he truly is the son of the Father, how's the Father going to work this out? Don't you think in the front of her mind she went back to that conversation that she had with the angel in Luke chapter 1? How are you ever going to bring life about in this womb of mine? Because I have no reason to be with child. What's the angel say? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, before you ever get to that verse 11 that we read, we read Paul writing things like this, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit gives life, and there is a law associated with that Spirit. And that is, you can be set free from sin and death. Do you think Mary knew that day? I imagine so. Skip down to verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is what? It is life and it is peace. There at the cross, Mary and everybody else for that matter had the option to either focus on flesh or to focus on Spirit. And if you would have focused on flesh, what would you be filled with? Dread, fear, anger, hurt, all the worst of the emotions. But if you had your mind set on the Spirit, even though what you were witnessing surely was agonizing and surely came with many questions, but Paul tells us in Romans 8, that the mind set on the Spirit, what does it come with? It comes with life and peace. Because the Spirit gives life. And whether it's this time of year or any time of year, one thing that all of us as Christians need to hold on to is the fact that we have a Spirit who gives life, but more than that, He is alive and well. We should never regard the Godhead, any part of the Godhead, as somehow dead or inactive or unattentive or uncaring. Because the one thing that we find in Scripture more than anything else regarding the Holy Spirit is, what does He do? He gives life. He gave life to Jesus Christ at His conception. And He certainly gave life at the resurrection. And that same Spirit that brought Jesus back from the dead is the Spirit by whom we should be living today, who should be filling our lives in such a way that we say He gives us life too. No, not in the miraculous ways that He did in Jesus' life, but in a way that fills us with life and peace and hope. And all of those things we've been talking about recently that we call the fruit of the Spirit. That is a manifestation of Him giving life. Fruit doesn't come from dead things. Fruit comes from living things and a living God. But at this time of year, it was noted previously, I don't know if it was publicly or maybe in private prayer that the elders and I had this morning, but at some point this morning somebody said, you know, this is a time of year where sometimes there isn't a lot of hope in people's lives, or bad memories of times past are revisited, or maybe they've had a bad year, and you see and look around, everybody's cheerful and happy and maybe sharing gifts, and it just doesn't seem like it matches up with your current situation. And I know among us, some of us in here have been through a lot of things this past year, a lot of hardship. Some of you who are visiting with us, I don't know everything you've been through this year, but I can imagine in 365 days, there's a lot of possibilities. And not all of those days are always good or bright or full of the best things. And so maybe this time of year isn't the brightest or the cheeriest. But you know, the one thing that I see when I think about my life, when I think about our collective life of this church, as I interact with people, everybody in their life needs to know that there is a God who is alive and well, that He that he is active and that he is in charge. And he gives life. And he doesn't give life just enough to exist or survive. He gives life to the full. This past week, a guy that I grew up with, I saw something he posted on Facebook. He's my age, and in the past year, he's gone through a divorce. He's battled two different cancer diagnoses. He said something, I think he lost three pets on top of all that, and you think, this guy's had a bad year. And at the end of his post, he gave a message of hope. That's somebody who needs to know that the Spirit gives life. I came across in one of our grocery stores the other night. I was buying something for church every now and then. You know, somebody said, oh, you're having a party, you're doing something. I said, yeah, we got some things going on at our church this weekend. She says, where do you go? I said, Morristown Church of Christ. And she looked at me, she goes, are you the pastor there? And I was like, well, something like that. And she starts talking to me. I really didn't engage her. She engaged me. In fact, I was hoping she might be here today. She started telling me about her past year. She's a single mother. She has a young son with special needs. And she said, you know, it's hard, day after day after day. I said, I'm sure it is. We talked some more. I invited her to be with us. And I told her we'd pray for her. So I won't give you her name, but if you'd remember her in your prayers, I know she would appreciate it. But as I walked away from that conversation, you know what I concluded? She needs to know that there is a God, there is a Spirit who gives life. She needs that life in her life. Not in a way in which I just hit her over her head and preached to her about it. She just needs to know that there's hope and life and peace beyond the day-to-day difficult current situation that she faces. And in many ways, church, we are the people, as we go out into the world, that demonstrate and manifest whether or not we really believe that there is a God who gives life, that he is alive and well, not just in a general sense, but he is alive and well in our lives and in our hearts. Because as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, not in the past, he dwelled in you at one time, not in the future, he will dwell in you. Paul says, if he dwells in you right now, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's what we all want, isn't it? And if we have that now, even in the midst of our hardest and darkest and most difficult days, we can still say that we have life and we have peace and we have hope because we're not just living in the flesh and by the flesh and for the flesh, but we're living in the Spirit and by the Spirit and even for the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit has made it all possible. Alongside God the Father and God the Son, they have worked in great harmony with one another, and they continue to do so, to not just bring life, but to sustain it, and yes, to even resurrect it once and for all. This morning, if you need to be born again, if you need to be born of the Spirit, to have that sense of life and hope and peace in your life, we encourage you to come to Christ in baptism, to have your sins remitted, washed away, not because of us or anything that we have done, but because of the grace of God through Christ Jesus, and thereby receiving the Holy Spirit. For those of us who are Christians, let us live with that life that he gives, Let us be peace and hope to all those around us. And if you need these things in your life today, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing.